forever and ever. Do you know why I say that all the time? Because it's in the Bible all over the place. Come on, and it's true. God is good, and His mercy does endure forever and ever and ever and ever. It's so awesome. Glory to God. If you got your Bibles, we're going to start out in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2. Last week we started talking about the church, and this is the church part 2 this morning. Glory to God. Who's the church? Come on, the whole body of Christ is the church, and we're a local church, but there's a church in mass. Anybody who's called Jesus the Lord of their life, anybody that's born again is in the church, right? We're an expression of the church, and we're grateful for that. But there's some things universally about the church that every church should have its focus. Come on. Jesus gave us some marching orders, and we talked about that last week. That our main objective is to introduce people to Jesus. Is to tell them the story. Come on. To let them know that even though life seems hopeless, or even though they don't ever feel like they're good enough or that they can measure up, that Jesus paid the price for all of our frailties, all of our sins, and we don't have to, you know, be walking around like God's mad at us because He's forgiven us. He's not mad at us. Amen? Glory to God. But look in Acts chapter 2. And look at what it looked like when the church was birthed. How many know the church wasn't birthed until Jesus died on the cross? Went up to heaven, and His blood was deemed satisfactory for the sanctification of the human race. Amen? The church was birthed, many believe, on the day of Pentecost. Because when Jesus said, wait here, wait in Jerusalem until you receive this power from on high. So, and just kind of summarizing what happened in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm not going to speak about speaking in tongues this morning, but it's great. It's been one of the best things in my life, bar none. I hear God clearer when I've spent some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Because praying in the Holy Ghost shuts your mind down and you're just talking with God. And then if you'll listen, He'll talk back. Glory to God. But praying in tongues. So that was the instance in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to pray in languages that they didn't know. They came and they were so filled with God that they ran out into the streets. And they got in the streets and they were still praying in tongues. And there was people in Jerusalem from all over the place. There were people from, you know, different countries, and they were all congregated in Jerusalem. And they said, what is this? Because we hear them all speaking in our language that we know they don't know. But watch this. They're speaking the wonderful things of God. And some of them said, oh man, they're just drunk. That's what they said. They're just intoxicated. But Peter said, oh, no. Now watch this. I love this part of it. He said, they're not drunk like you think they're drunk. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He said, they're not drunk like you think they're drunk. They were filled with the Spirit, all right, but it was the Spirit of God. And then he went on to say that this is the very thing that Joel prophesied. Joel said that there's going to be a day where your sons and daughters are going to be filled with me, and they're going to prophesy, and they're going to just show forth the miraculous, and that's where the church was born. But now look with me, because at the end of that, at verse 38, this is what Peter said to them. Because after Peter gave this lecture, I love this, or this sermon, or this talk, Peter was probably the least qualified because of his denial of Jesus, but the blood was enough to set him straight and get him right. That gives me a lot of hope, right? That God can use me. If He could use Peter, He can use me. Amen? But watch this. Peter was full of the Holy Ghost. He spoke this, And the Bible says, actually in verse 37, it says the people were just, you know, they were amazed. And in their hearts they went, what do we do? What should we do? And listen to what he says. In verse 38, he says this. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. What's he mean? You got to change the way you're thinking. The way you thought you were supposed to come to God with all the animal sacrifices, everything that was going on in Jerusalem at that time, you got to change your thinking because that system is no longer the system whereby you come to God. You come to God only by Jesus Christ because He was the ultimate sacrifice. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. But he said you got to repent and then you've got to be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you can't be born again by your religious activity. You can't be born again because you came to Jerusalem. You can't be born again because you came to church. You have to come to Jesus. You have to come to Jesus. And again, why am I saying this? Because the church was birthed to proclaim this message, and the marching orders haven't changed. Have you ever thought, what's my purpose? Well, I know that we have specific assignments, but your main purpose, if you're born again, is to be a witness to Him. Glory to God. And there's a couple of ways you can be a witness. You can tell of what He's done overall, but even better, I think, sometimes, is tell what He's done for you. Come on. Right? I mean, if He can take a, you know, person that was just a drug addict, pothead, full of, you know, all kinds of evil stuff, and change that into somebody that could preach the gospel, He can do that for anybody. Glory to God. He's so powerful, I'm telling you, He can take addiction out of you. He can take sickness out of you. If you're walking around with the devil, he can get that out of you too. Glory to God. But that's what we're preaching. That's what we're all about is the story. Now watch this though. Go to chapter 4. You'd think a wonderful message that God's not mad at you. God paid the price for all of your sins. All you have to do is accept Jesus, and everything's going to be awesome. You'll be with Him forever in heaven. That would be a great message. Everybody would love that. Not so much. So again, Peter and John preached the message again, and they were talking to the Sanhedrin, and everything they said in love, but it was kind of confrontational. You put Him on the cross. You did this. You did that. You know. And they got jealous. But one of them said, listen, how can we deny the wonderful works that they're doing in the name of Jesus? That man was lame, but now he's walking. How can we deny that? We can't really deny that, but we'll threaten them. I love their response, but they'll threaten them. It's a great read, the whole chapter. But in verse 23... Chapter 4 and verse 23. This is after they threatened them and all of that. And verse 23 says, and being let go, they went there to their own company and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. I wanted to point out this verse, and then we're going to go to verse 29. When they got in trouble, where did they go? To their own company. To fellow believers who were meeting to worship Jesus. We must have a place where we feel safe to come. But not just for sympathy, not just for empathy, but for prayers and overcoming faith-filled prayers. Well, we got a problem, let's pray because God, we know, will answer our prayers. Amen? They came to their own company. I'm going to come to a company of faith. Everybody needs a local church or body or assembly they can call their own local, you know, Come on, whether it's here, sometimes it's home groups, sometimes it's bigger, wherever it is, where can you go when you get in trouble? I love it. This morning we have people watching online, and some of them are watching online because their bodies are hurting or something, and they just can't be here. But the reality is that doesn't replace this. I said that doesn't replace this. When we're talking about the church, there's an assembly. We talked about this last week. The ecclesia means those that are called from their home to a certain purpose. You're called here not just to be the receiver of something. We're all called here to be the giver of something. It's corporate worship that ushers the presence of God in. It's not the performance. Right? Come on. His presence is here. But it's here because we're here. We're the church. And we need to have a place where we can go to. Watch. And we can come to the place where we know that when we're with our own kind, that we'll hear from God. Verse 29, and this is, they'd rehearsed to them what the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all the religious leaders had said. They'd, you know, discussed that with their whole group of people, and they said, in verse 29, it says, they're praying about it. They said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." See, we're supposed to come together, and yes, we go through stuff. Everybody say stuff. You've gone through some stuff. There's stuff in your life you don't like. There's circumstances in your life that maybe you don't know how you got there, whatever, you don't like it. We all go through stuff. But when we come here, we're supposed to have a place where we can pray about our stuff, but then encourage us that's not the end of the story. And what's happened to you does not define you. Come on. Glory to God. Glory. If you've got a physical problem, Jesus is the healer. Let us pray for you. If you need deliverance, let us pray for you because Jesus is a deliverer. If people are bugging you, Lord, behold their threats and all of that, but Lord, our main purpose is that they might see Jesus through us. Come on. Even when people are calling us names, even when people are doing us wrong, and today it seems like never before since I've been alive, if you call yourself a born-again Christian, there's something over your head that says all kinds of things to the world. But we ought to be, Lord, I don't care about any of that. Use me to show them that you love them, that you're real. Lord, use me to be the one that takes the blinders off of their minds so that they can see the glorious gospel. Use me. Use me. But how many know that there's things that get in the way of that? And if... Let's... Watch this now. Let's just go on. And do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. It's not about us, Lord. It's about your purpose. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Part of the purpose of coming together is not so that you can hear me preach, is so that you can be filled with the Spirit. That your joy can come back, that you can, wait a minute, the world's brought me down, but I'm coming to the place where I know I'll be lifted up because the name of Jesus is going to be lifted high. He loves you. He's for you. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. We may not be the biggest church in Port Orchard, but we're part of it. If Jesus is Lord of their life, we are part of that church. And our part is to touch the people that we touch. Right? What a privilege it is to be obedient to Him and do what He is. But I believe, now I believe this with all of my heart, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He doesn't want to just do miracles here. And we've seen miracles. We've seen all kinds of things. Some of them a little wild. But we've seen things here in the church building. But what about at the gas station? Right? What about at the workstation? Right? That's where God wants to begin to use us. Use you as the church. Glory to God. But again, go to Ephesians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you that in Acts chapter 6, the church was doing good. I mean, it was being added to all the time. I mean, there were people just getting saved, and it was like thousands in the church at that point. But the enemy came in and said, listen, I need to mess this thing up. So the first thing I'm going to do is get them bickering at one another. If I can get them bickering at one another, then they will not be productive for the kingdom of God. We're going to see that so clearly today, that the church must determine that the purpose is more important than my feelings. The overall purpose is more important than what I think about. And my purpose is, and my plan should be, my goal is to walk in love just like He did. Aren't you glad that He decided to stay when He was travailing in Gethsemane, saying, Lord, pass this cup. I don't want it. If there's any other way. But Lord, Your will be done, not mine. Glory to God. I think one of the authors in the New Testament said, none of us have been so under pressure that we've sweated blood. But Jesus did, and He did that for us. So what I'm saying, for if the church is going to be the church, especially those who've been in the church for a while, we've got to start becoming more mature. Now, what I've noticed is that age and maturity are not always the same thing. You know, you think, well, I've been saved for 5 years, a big deal. I've been saved for 20. I've been in this church for 30 years. Who cares? Have you grown up? Has it made any difference to you? Are you the same that you were 30 years ago? Then you're still a baby. The church is the avenue that God will take babies and bless God that they come into the church. But the purpose is to show them what God would have them to do. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, brethren, to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. Anybody that gets saved is called. In fact, I believe anybody who's not saved is called. They just haven't come into their calling yet because they don't know Jesus yet. Glory to God. But the church is the place that the message is supposed to be proclaimed, but it's also supposed to be viewed. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you. There should be a difference in your life because you're with Jesus than there was before you got saved. I don't know what happened to you, but there's something different. Come on, you got a minute? Let me tell you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I mean, your personality sometimes doesn't change. I mean, if you were funny before, you're probably still funny. If you weren't, you're not. But the reality is, watch this. The giftings and the callings of God. He wants to pull your personality into the place where He can use you to affect the world. The purpose of the church. Come on, we all have jobs. We have ways that we have income, however that happens, going to school, all those things. But that's not our purpose. That's not our end goal. Our end goal, really, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and then love our neighbors, ourselves. And the only way we can really love our neighbors, ourselves, is introduce our neighbors to Jesus. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look at this. With all lowliness, verse 2, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The church must endeavor to keep unity. We must endeavor to keep unity. The enemy wants to destroy unity. Unity doesn't necessarily that you agree on everything. Unity states that the purpose that we're together is more important than my opinion. So I can overlook some things. I can even be wrong about some things or right about some things, but those things don't really matter if the main purpose is being hindered because we're in an argument about those things. Come on, that's right. Zach just said that the house divided will not stand. And God wants us to be united. That's why when we hear about, and it's so easy to do, how many know the human nature is I'm part of a group. I'm part of that group because I believe that's the group that's supposed to be. And I want my group to look better than your group. Right? So I go to such and such church, and we're full gospel. But you know those Baptist people. Right? Or those Methodist people, or those other people. It's easy for us to start comparing ourselves with one another instead of comparing ourselves with the heart of the Father. See, and you see, when we start doing that, we don't even understand that it's the enemy trying to disunify the church. Why? Because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. But that means where there's disunity, then maybe He's not able to bless the people like He'd want to bless them. He says, endeavor to. Now watch this. Let's go back up because this is so true, and yet it seems obvious. In verse 2 again, he says, walk with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. You know, we have to bear with one another. Why? Because we're all messed up. None of us are perfect. How long? For a long time. Read it again. It said, with long suffering. How many have ever thought, I've had all I can take of that person? I've had it. It's time for us to pray for long suffering. And we need to start seeing people as Jesus sees them. We need to take His same attitude on. That person that you want to give up on, that person that you want to throw away, just ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus? No, He wouldn't. Thank God He wouldn't. Because if He would, where would we be? Right? Let's go on. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called with one hope of your calling. The Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I like that. The Spirit of God is in us, is in us, is in us. But I want to tell you today and speak to that God wants us to get an attitude of unity that will not let us go. Why is that so important? Because when you get on the phone with Brother Blabbermouth And he starts to tell you all the things that are wrong with Sister Spiritual. And you listen to that for very long, then unity is being attacked. And it may not seem like much right now, but overall, and we're going to see that in a minute, it actually grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. So what do I do? What if Brother Blabbermouth is right about Sister Spiritual? What do I do? Well, the first thing you ought to do is let's pray. Let's pray. Have we gone to Sister Spiritual and talked to her about this? Have we prayed for her about this? Have we, you know, maybe it's a strong and hold in her life that she needs intercessors to come aside her and let God show her so that she can be delivered of that thing. But instead of her getting delivered, you're pushing her further into it because you're excluding her from the body where she's supposed to come to her own kind. You know, I'm the pastor of this church, so I'm kind of the daddy of this church. And I've heard this, you know, throughout the years, I've heard it over and over. Well, there's a lot of gossip in this church. Or there's a lot of backbiting in this church. And I'm not saying now specifically, but over the years. And yeah, there probably is. But it's got to stop. It has to stop. Why? Because it's sin. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yeah, but you know, I'm just talking about, you know, so-and-so and what they've done and what they did to me. I'm as guilty as anybody in the room or anybody on the internet, anybody in the world where that's concerned. And especially where people have hurt you. You want to justify yourself or your opinion, so you have to make them look bad. If we're going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, we have to have a mechanism where we can deal with issues, but not defy the body. Come on. Come on. I have a friend, I do have a friend. He's in Eastern Washington. And at his church, he's real adamant about, you know, you may be mad at me, but tough. We're still going to work through this. We're going to work this out. We got an issue. We're going to work through it. Why? Because the body's more important than me. And the body's more important than you. If we're going to have a place where people can come and get delivered, get healed, get set free, then we have to have a place where they're going to feel safe. I believe, now, you can quote me on this, but I truly believe that gossip and backbiting are driven by spirits. Spirits. The devil's coming. I got them now. I got them now. Now, I was going to get into this later, but I'm here now, so I'm just going to camp here for a minute. My sisters at our lake property in the summertime, often they'll take the nieces and nephews and say, well, just, we're going to be here all week. Let them stay a few more days. You go home, do what you're going to do, and we'll just take care of the kids. Because any of the kids would just love to spend all day swimming in the lake, right? So this one sweetheart, little girl, her mom sent her some candy with her, you know, sent some candy with her. She had it in her backpack. Well, she decided, and see, gossip is a little bit like candy because it tastes good. Oftentimes, for just the reason I said, if I can make Brother Blabbermouth look bad, then I look better. And me hearing about Brother Blabbermouth. But the reality is a little bit of candy might be okay. But if you got a lot of candy, it's going to happen. Well, what happened to this little girl is that she snuck off and she ate all of the candy at once. Well, my sisters and brother had to spend a lot of time in the bathroom cleaning up the mess. And how much of the church is cleaning up messes because we've been indulging on gossip? When our objective is to see people saved, to see people healed, to be delivered, and we don't understand that that little bit in Proverbs says, you know, that gossip and words like that, they taste good coming down, but they're bitter in the soul. And just like candy, you can tell I like candy, but, you know, it can work two ways. If I eat a lot of candy at once, I don't feel good at all. But also, if I eat a little bit of candy over a long period of time, it's doing things to my organs that it shouldn't do. That's just like gossip. We have to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity. Endeavor means you've got to work at it. You've got to be diligent about it. You've got to be on top of it. Why? Because the body needs to be whole. It needs to be healthy. It needs to be mature. Let's go on reading here. Glory to God. Y'all love me? Oh, that's good. Hallelujah. But to each one of us, verse 7, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every one of us has been given grace that's producing a gift in us and through us. And all of the gifts are different because all of the gifts are necessary for different functions. We'll see that in a minute, but and I'm not going to go in depth into that. But the reality is you don't just come here to see me. Although, you know, that wouldn't be bad either. But watch this. You come here because God wants to use you in the body. He's graced you. He's gifted you for purpose. But He's also gifted everybody else. So you're excluding somebody because you don't like the way they look or the way they sound or the way they act, then what you're doing is you're excluding the gift. And it's actually dumb. Now, there may be some personality things and some things that need to be changed and to help grow up and all of that, but we have to work through that process. Let's go on. Go to verse 11. It says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." All the ministry gifts, as we call them, some call them the fivefold ministry gifts, their purpose is to help the church grow up to where the church can be used. But for too often and too long, the perception is they're the church. And we come to participate in the church. And the anointing is fun. And the worship is good. And, you know, whatever. But the reality is that's not the purpose. The purpose is to encourage, to teach, to admonish, to equip the body to get up and do what they're supposed to do. Right? If the church is functioning right, you should be better parents after you've come to church. You should be better employees after you've come to church. You should be better in life because you've been involved with the anointing that comes through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Hello? Hello? We must come back to the place where I am called of God. God wants to use me, but it may require me to do some things that I don't want to do and stop doing some of the things that I like to do. I'll just, you know, on me. You know, sometimes I like to feel sorry for myself. None of you are like that, I'm sure, but I like to feel sorry for myself. And I like to complain about why this isn't happening or why that isn't happening. But at the end of the day, if I'm really talking to the Lord, He'll say, who are you talking to? And what business is that of yours? You feel sorry for yourself after I poured my love out on you? You feel sorry for yourself after I gave my son for you? What are you doing? And you know, we all get into performance things, so it's, Lord, I wish this was happening, or that was happening, or that was happening. You got to come back to, Lord, you privileged me to talk to one person about you. That's all I need. Right? I've got to get me out of the picture and let Him be the bigger picture. That's what we have to do as a church. Because why? God wants you to be used of Him. That's the whole thing that I'm coming to. God wants the church to be full of people who He can use. How does that look like? That looks like, you know, somebody comes in the church and somebody who's got a gift of hospitality goes up and greets them and makes them feel so warm and welcome that it's just crazy. And another person that's an encourager comes up to him and says, yeah, man, I see that things have been a little bad, but God is on your side. And you get another person who's a, you know, gift of giving and says, you know, the Lord spoke to me to give you $50 for breakfast or whatever. And you got the other person and it all working together. And they go, what happened here? They encountered Christ because the body is working together to do the ministry or the service that He has required for the church to do for the world. Come on. So, yeah, I've been listening to Brother Blabbermouth, and, you know, I just don't want to be rude or interrupt him, so I just let him go on and on and on and on. You're corrupting yourself, and you're corrupting the body. Let's stop it. Let's say no more. I can't afford that. I don't want that. Glory to God. Come on, let's go on. I'm running out of time, and I've got lots more scriptures. So the gifts of the Spirit are to bring unity to the church. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, that every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. In other words, Jesus should be doing something in the church that causes us to grow so that we can be used for His glory. Come on. Again, look at verse 17. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. I'm saved. I shouldn't be acting like I was before I got saved. I'm saved. I shouldn't have a raging anger like I did before I got saved. Now, I might need you to pray for me to get me delivered of some of the things, to get me healed in my heart of some of the rejection that I had in the past. But the objective is I need to get on with growing up in God so that the body can be used to affect the world. But as long as we're doing the things of the world and have that same mind of the world, then we're no different than the world. We might be saved. We might be going to heaven, but they say, what difference is there there? Glory to God. What am I saying? I'm talking about a glorious church. Jesus said He's coming for a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. He's coming from a church that's on fire, a church that's ready to do what God wants them to do, a church where people can come and get saved, healed, delivered, set free in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We have to be a church that believes God and believes that every person is a candidate for a miracle from God. And it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what God wants to touch you. God wants to talk with you. Glory to God. It's time for us to grow up. I said it's time for us to grow up. Verse 21 says, if indeed you've heard and have been taught by Him that the truth that is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lusts. Right? So any of those things that are associated with that, you have to put off. In fact, you can't feed on it at all. If you feed on a little bit of gossip, you'll want more gossip. And then if you feed on the gossip and then you pass it on, how does that look like? Did you hear? Did you see that post on Facebook about Brother So-and-so? And then you start talking about your opinion about Brother So-and-so. Let me just give you one that's current in the body of Christ. Marcus Lamb, who's the founder of Daystar, a few days ago, died of COVID. He was very anti-vaccine and promoted some of the other issues. Now, there's probably some in this room that lean one way or the other. Why are we letting that divide us? But you got one group saying, well, yeah, look at it. If he'd have just had the vaccine, he'd have been okay. And the other group are saying, no, blah, 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 and causing disunity where none of that really matters. You know what I know? He's in heaven. I said, he's in heaven. Why? Because Jesus was Lord of his life. Was he right? I don't care. Because what's more important is the unity of the body than my opinion being the correct one. Glory to God. And go through verse 22 through 24. It talks about putting things off. And the things that we have to put away. Right? Look at verse, I'm time now. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's the verse we ought to just plant on our wall, put up on our mirrors, so that guards what we allow ourselves to hear, and especially what we say. Now, I want to read that again in context of these next verse. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How we treat one another is what grieves the Holy Spirit. More than if you do something out of order in a service. Or if a baby cries in a service, well, that's grieving the Holy Ghost. Not so much. What grieves the Holy Spirit is when you're talking about somebody else, or you're in unforgiveness with somebody else, or you've got bitterness with somebody else. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Let me just say it this way. There's a way I want to say it, but I'm not going to say it that way. I don't want to make him mad. Grieve means to make mad. Grieve means to put off. Grieve means to make sad. I don't want to make him mad. Unity is what he's calling for. The body must come to the place where we decide that I don't want to say anything that would hurt his heart. The body of Christ, I'm talking about our body, I'm talking about the body in general, but I'm talking about us. Why? Because if we're part of groups that are talking about other groups, or did you hear about this, and she did that, or he did that, or they did that, or, oh, that pastor, he's all messed up, you know, whatever. Or, you know, that one left, and you know what they did? They blah, blah, blah. And sometimes when people leave, my heart is hurt. I just be honest with you. And sometimes I wonder, well, do you know what they did? I'm starting to feed it. When I go down that road, I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I'm starting to want to get my justification for me. And even though they might have left, I'm still hurting the body by talking about them. And I need to be praying for them. Amen? Come on. I need to be saying, Lord, they don't belong to me anyway. They belong to you. They're your problem, not mine. No. There's some truth in that. That's a different sermon. But we don't want to be in a place where we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. Let me just finish this. Verse 30 again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The whole chapter, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, is about unity in the church. And in order to keep unity in the church, we must take serious these things that we just read. I can't afford to be bitter because the church will suffer. I can't afford to be angry and you know, want revenge and all of that because the church will suffer. I can't speak evil because the church will suffer. I can't be malice toward one another. I have to be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And this one for me is blows my mind, but yet if he wrote it in here, we're capable of doing it. He says, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. What did Christ forgive you of? But I'm sure that you weren't as bad as so-and-so. I'm sure you were much better than Brother Blabbermouth. Maybe even a sister spiritual. No, the reality is that any sin separated us from God. So even the best person that you know that's squeaky clean missed it. We all fall short of the grace of God. We all need a Savior. And if God forgave me of the times that I used His name in vain and actually cursed Him, the times that I did something to one of His people that I shouldn't have done, if He's forgiven me for that, it shouldn't even be a question in my vocabulary of whether I should forgive so-and-so. It's not like I'm under an obligation, but love would propel me, when I understand what love is, propel me to love that person. And sometimes those people, the hardest ones to forgive, are those that are closest to you and that you have the most interaction with, because they can hurt you the deepest. But think about this for just a minute. I am closing. Think about this for 1 minute. Jesus came to forgive and to heal a dying world that had been corrupted by the influence of Satan. Right? Sin came from the mind of rebellion that was birthed in Satan. So the most evil thing that's been done to you was birthed in the mind of Satan, and he had a willing victim to use to perpetrate that upon you. So the person who did what they did to you is not the ultimate source of your pain. It was the plot of the enemy. But forgiveness says, Lord, I'm going to let you deal with that. I don't want to even see them in hell. So I pray for their souls, God, and I release them to you. Even as Christ forgave you, so you forgive one another. Glory to God. Even as Christ loved you, love one another. Even as Christ has spoken over you good things, grace, love, mercy, begin to speak that over one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord, quickly.
My heart broke with what our pastor's saying to us. Not because of what I've been walking through. I've been walking through some stuff and been holding back, stepping up here. My heart broke for our church, for our body. Things happen. Are we going to agree with separation? Brokenness is, you know, fine wine is created by being crushed. And Jesus brought fine wine by His blood to every single person in this nation. Separation is the works of the enemy.
Amen.
Life comes through a doorway created by our Lord Jesus. Backbiting and turning against. When we release somebody to Him and forgive them and then forgive ourselves, repent and return to the high place. What is the high place we came from? Him. Amen. We came from our Father. Before we were in our womb, we were created in our Father. And then we were brought to our mother's womb and brought here. Return to the high place.
Amen.
Repent. Okay. You don't have to do it in church.
Yeah.
Do it on your knees before Him and you're as white as snow.
Amen.
Brokenness is okay. We've all been through some stuff.
Yep.
But it's not that. Take that stuff and say, I'm still here, enemy.
Amen.
And Jesus, feed me like I've never been fed before.
Amen.
We want to move forward, like Pastor says, and grows and grow up. How do we grow up? Got to go through some stuff.
Yeah.
That's how we grow up. It says in the Word that the barn is clean if there is nothing. If the help us, Lord.
Amen.
There's no bull in the barn. There's no mess.
Yeah.
Revival is going to be messy, but we got to be prepared as sons and daughters. What I want to give up or what I need to give up may be different from you. But remember, our Lord doesn't turn away from us. Our Lord says, it's okay to disagree with me, but I still love you.
Amen.
We all, many things have disagreed with our Father who created us, but we come together for one reason. He brings us together because He sent His Son for love.
Amen. Amen.
So, if it's okay, can I just lead in a...
Yeah.
Everybody's... Can you stand up for a second? Because when we stand up, it's an active movement. It's a physical movement into a spiritual realm. Everybody just repeat after me. Father.
Father.
I repent.
I repent.
For things.
For things.
That I've done.
That I've done.
Knowingly.
Knowingly.
Or unknowingly.
Or unknowingly.
I lay them to your feet.
I lay them to your feet.
Father.
Father.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For guiding me.
For guiding me.
Teaching me.
Teaching me.
And bringing me forward.
And bringing me forward.
As the light you created me to be.
As the light you created me to be.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the service today. If you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly given your life to Jesus and let Him do with you what He wants to. We want to pray with you. We want to be there for you. But just fall on your face before God and say, Jesus, just take me the way I am. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Thank you for watching this morning in Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning and need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. God is good. God is here. And just a little bit different before we go, let's have a worship team come up and we'll just do a song and then we'll dismiss. But leave the chairs up because that's going to be used tonight. And just be blessed to be back here in time. The skit's going to start first, so we want everybody here on time if you can make it. In Jesus' name, amen.